Hello and welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as many other topics. In this series, we are exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each episode, we'll be looking at a different tarot card. These are meant to be short introductions, so will not be an exhaustive examination of them, but rather a taster to get you started and thinking out some ideas. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show, and you can also find us on Facebook at Occult London Podcast or on YouTube at Occult London Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. In today's episode, we will be discussing the card of Judgment, which is the 31st path and the path of Shin. As is usual, we will begin the episode by going through the correspondences of the path from a Kabbalistic point of view, and our reference for this is John Michael Greer's excellent book Paths of Wisdom, which I highly recommend to you if you have not read it. So let's get started. So as I said before, the card for this path is Judgment, is the 31st path and the path of Shin. The Hebrew letter is Shin, which means tooth. The name of God is Elohim. The astrological correspondence is fire. The tarot correspondence is Judgment. The esoteric title is Spirit of the Primal Fire. The Yetzeratic text is the 31st path is the perpetual intelligence. And why is it so called? Because it regulates the motions of the sun and the moon in their proper order, each in an orbit convenient for it. The mythological principle is rebirth through fire. The experiences of the path are sensations of heat, thirst, and pain, travel across a desert or through fire, burning away of the physical body, images of other incarnations. The entities of the path are the Grigori, or the Watchers, the Salamanders, and elemental spirits of fire. The magical image is an arch of clear red colour, bearing on its keystone the letter Shin in brilliant white. The door within the arch bears the image of the trump. The colours are in Atzeluth is glowing scarlet orange, in Bria is vermilion, in Yetzirah is scarlet flecked with gold, and Isaiah is vermilion flecked with crimson and emerald. So those are the key correspondences. As I said, they're taken from John Michael Greer's excellent book, Paths of Wisdom, so definitely worth reading. So let's move on to some of the more ideas and Kabbalistic symbolism behind this path, and from my point of view. So the path of Shin, or Judgment, this obviously connects Malkut, the sphere of the earth, with Hod, splendour, and sits at the base of the pillar of severity. The earth connects via this path with the ultimate expression of Binah. And so it's the path of intellect as opposed to the moon, which is the kind of more formative path of emotion. Whilst the judgment mentioned in the card, and a lot of the imagery you see with this particular path as well, looks very much like the end of the world. So you know, there's people rising out of their graves, there's angels descending, there's fire and brimstone, etc. What it's really talking about is this kind of perpetual judgment and adjustment of the personality towards its ultimate goal of universal consciousness. This is the perpetual intelligence of the title, because it sort of regulates the sun and the moon and our own personalities, which is represented by the sun and the moon. So this is our conscious and unconscious minds and the relationship with the individuality sitting in Tiferet, which is here symbolized by the imagery of the angel. This is the path of instruction from higher levels, and also an awakening and evolving of the human race, not just our kind of conscious aspects, but also our unconscious aspects, as everything that we are is being kind of evolved and taken up. As Robert Wang says in his excellent book, that which is deemed unworthy by the angelic powers, invoked by the desire of the student, travelling the paths, is slowly burnt away by the redeeming fire, a process which is actually physical. As we can see from the correspondences above, this path is very much connected with the element of fire. So we can see the element of fire is of the element of the card is fire. The letter Shin looks like flames, and its weapons, etc., also the fire wand and the lamp and the triangle of fire. So this fire is very much about what this card is about in terms of it's the very early, you know, it's one of the things that makes us enable to survive and take that evolutionary leap from being, you know, essentially living in caves and, you know, very primitive societies through to where we are today. And this is something that Dolores Ashcroft-Nowitzki said when she said, "It is a fact that fire stimulates thought, and thought is the basis of form. Without thought, nothing can be brought to the physical level." And Gareth Knight also kind of backs this up as well when he says the following: "The beginnings of civilization one equates with the discovery of the making of fire and its use for the preparation of food, making tools, protection from wild beasts, and as a centre for communal life. The astrological symbol for this path is thus aptly the element of fire, and the revelation of the way towards higher levels of physical existence is shown on the tarot card with an angel awakening the dead. This need not be confused with the orthodox Christian belief in the one final assumption of humanity in physical bodies to heaven. The principle behind the tarot trump is the awakening to new and higher levels of life." The goddess Hestia is mentioned by Knight in relation to this, as this path as being a good example of the kind of energies of the path, as she was responsible for looking after the domestic hearth at home and is also responsible for the sort of building of the home and also the raising the family. And we can also see that in the idea of Prometheus, who kind of stole fire from heaven in order to help mankind evolve. So this is that concept of that sort of higher self giving us that boost to move forward. And it was this fire that enabled us to survive, master the elements, but also create tools and weapons as well. And in this sense, also the figure of the blacksmith, I think, is very relevant to this particular path. So Hephaestus, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, or also Wayland Smithy can also be placed here as being the idea of the initiator via fire, and also another kind of version of the Prometheus myth. So we could look at ourselves as almost the piece of raw iron that goes into the forge and is beaten by the blacksmith, if that makes sense. The Hebrew letter for the path is Shin, which means tooth. And although it looks quite a lot like three flames, if we consider the idea of tooth chewing and biting away through things, again, this is a sign of evolution and development. Our teeth are also one of the only things to remain after our bones are burnt, which is quite interesting, I think. Gareth Knight has this to say about the letter Shin, which I wanted to share another quote with you as well. "The way of evolution is a process of harmonization of the contending forces arising from the most primitive levels. The middle way between two opposites is suggested by the shape of the letter Shin. This middle way is shown also on the tarot trump, for the true design seems to have been a child rising from a tomb and the man and woman rising on each side from the ground, not as persons but as principles of positive and negative in nature. The child is the growing point in the evolving man." So as we can see, you know, what he's talking about there is obviously there's a man and a woman growing. These are the two polarities, but it's kind of this combination of the both, which we could say is represented by the middle pillar that is, you know, particularly interesting from that perspective. So that's kind of the main ideas I wanted to share with you with regards to this particular path. In terms of, you know, gods and goddesses, obviously there's lots of different ones that we could place here, particularly gods and goddesses that would be potentially judgmental or also kind of fire beings as well. So for instance, in Egyptian mythology, I'd put Nephthys or Hekate. Again, Anubis we've obviously spoken to quite a bit, but he does pop up a lot, and he's you know, this psychopomp that goes between the conscious and the unconscious worlds, and you could say is this kind of opener in terms of the middle way. Greek Hestia, we've already mentioned Hephaestus, the blacksmith, Roman Vesta, Vulcan, We could also look at Celtic in terms of Bridget and her kind of fiery aspects there. Norse, Freya, you know, Loki as well. He's kind of a more of a trickster god, but I think definitely relevant in terms of this sort of awakening aspect to him. And yeah, so that's kind of the main ones I wanted to cover off. I think we've covered off quite a bit in quite a short time on this particular episode. So hopefully this will give you some food to thought. Thanks very much for joining us on the podcast this week. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. And you can also check out our us on YouTube as well. Hope you have a great evening, and thanks very much for listening. Thank you.